Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Revisiting Luke's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Luke's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Luke, even though I read through Luke in 2021. But the thing is, the world's changed. I've changed, and so I expect that my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am kind of looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying to me now. I do want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me. I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple minutes long. You should also know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I will have recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wandering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley. That's Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church, the one in Ontario. So now, let's see what Luke has to say this time around. And today it's Luke chapter 9, verses 43 to 48. Yesterday, Jesus healed a child with a demon. Then it was weird. At least it seemed weird to me in my wondering. Maybe my wondering was weird. Maybe it was an exorcism story like all the others. But I don't know, something about it. Anyway, let's see what happens next. But just so you know, when you hear that everyone was amazed, you'll know part of that was that he's... just driven a demon out of a convulsing child. So here it is. It's Luke 9, verses 43 to 48. While everyone was amazed at all that he was doing, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into human hands." But they did not understand his saying. Its meaning was concealed from them so that they could not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying. An argument arose among them as to which one of them was the greatest. But Jesus, aware of their inner thoughts, took a little child and put it by his side and said to them, "Whoever welcomes this child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For the least among all of you is the greatest." That hesitation, repetition, that was mine. That's not in the text. It simply says, "For the least among all of you is the greatest." Another chiasm, right? Flipping things inside out. If you want to gain your life, you lose it. If you want to, those who lose their lives will gain them. The least among all of you is the greatest. So, what are we to think of this? Well, I'll tell you honestly, the thing that jumped out at me wasn't the obvious. I mean, I know this passage. I haven't pre-wondered about it. I haven't taken notes, but I certainly am familiar with it. But what struck me as I was reading it, I could hear the words coming out of my mouth. They did not understand this saying, right? Jesus says the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into human hands. But they did not understand this saying. Its meaning was concealed from them. By whom? Its meaning was concealed from them. Jesus is not talking in riddles, right? He says, "Let this sink into your ears. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into human hands." It's that simple. There's no riddle to this. This is not being concealed by clever speech. If Satan, if demons were making it difficult, then it would have said that. Its meaning was concealed from them. And I wonder about that. And I've not really ever wondered about that before. The meaning was concealed so they could not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying. Is it their own ignorance that conceals the truth on them? Although they understand what all the words are. Is it their own willingness to engage with something that they don't understand? Is that perhaps what it is? Because that makes some sense to me. See, the reason I think that is because it then says, and they were afraid to ask him about the saying. Had they not been afraid, they would have said, I'm sorry, Jesus, the Son of Man is you, right? So betrayed into human hands means what? We're going to snitch on you. You're going to be turned over to the governor. You're going to be killed. Or just that we're going to let people say bad things about you and not speak up. Like, what are you saying, Jesus? Please, could you help us? You know, if they'd asked that, I don't think Jesus would have said, I don't want to talk about it. I think Jesus would have engaged with them, but they were afraid to ask him about this saying. And again, afraid of what? Afraid of Jesus? Is there a great history of Jesus getting angry at people for asking questions? I mean, he was exasperated with this faithless generation. How long do I have to keep doing this? That just happened with the man who asked Jesus to heal his son. The disciples couldn't do it, so he's asking Jesus to do it, and Jesus says, "Oh, you faithless generation, how much longer do I have to do this?" And at the time, I've wondered, like, is he exasperated with the disciples? Is he exasperated with the man, the world? Where is the exasperation? Maybe the disciples feel that Jesus is exasperated with them, and they're afraid to get him upset. But again, he doesn't have a history of being violent with them. We've never heard of him kicking somebody out of the group. You know, the worst that ever happened was that was the rich man came and said, "What do I have to do to follow you?" He said, "Well, give up your riches." And sadly, the man couldn't, so he walked away. Jesus didn't tell him, "Go away." So they were afraid. They were afraid that he didn't love them. They were afraid that God didn't love them enough. They were afraid that they weren't earning God's love. They weren't earning Jesus' love. I get that. I know fundamentally, theologically, it's wrong. I don't deserve. I don't earn God's love or Jesus' love. It's grace. That's something that God gives, that Jesus and God being one gives. I have to receive it, that's all. But I have times when I have sat and thought to myself, oh, I've done such a terrible job with this person or in this situation, and I don't know why God even puts up with me. God must be so fed up with me. As if God didn't understand what was going on in my life, what goes on in my head that makes sometimes this is more difficult than that, or sometimes I just fail. But I take it personally and I begin to. And so sometimes I am afraid. I am afraid to say I didn't get this right. Sometimes I'm afraid to say I don't know something because I hate looking stupid. I know I'm the only person in the world that feels that way. Actually, I have suggested several times that I think that the greatest sin in my world, people who grew up like me, people like me, our greatest sin is to look stupid. Oh my God, don't let us look stupid. No matter what happens, do not let me look stupid. I know a community had a minister, terrible minister. It really was just not good. Did not know, was not good. And they all knew it. They knew of this minister's transgressions. And they weren't criminal, but they were odious. But rather than confront the minister, they put up with it. They put up with it until that person, reached retirement age, and then they just refused to let that one continue. And many ministers continue long beyond after retirement issues, retirement age. They just found the excuse to never talk about it, never do anything about it, but just ease away. When I say ease away, I'm talking, 8 years of easing away, because they didn't want to look stupid. They all knew, but nobody wanted to talk about it. Did you get that? We see it in families, right? We see it in our friend groups. Somebody's doing something, and you want to question them about it, but you don't want to look stupid. No, you know, or somebody knows something that you don't know, and they'll be talking about it. Everyone's joining. Oh, this is great, but you don't know. You haven't seen the Barbie movie, and so you just right. You might even pretend. Yeah, no, it was the whole doll thing. It was just whoa, because you want to fit in. You don't want to look foolish. And that desire to not look foolish, is that what conceals, what keeps us from fuller understanding? If we would risk looking foolish, if we would risk saying, I don't know something, if we would dare to be vulnerable. Jesus, you said, let those words sink into my ears, but I honestly don't understand those words. Would you help me, please? Jesus isn't concealing it from them. Satan's not concealing it from them. Not even the world's concealing it. They're concealing it from themselves because they are unwilling to ask, unwilling to admit they don't know it already. Could that be it? I don't know. It's the first time that really jumped out at me. So just looking at it again, or so everyone's amazed, at the healing, all the things that Jesus is doing. Oh my gosh! But he's not worrying about that. He's not saying to the apostles, to his disciples. He's not saying like, yeah, check me out. I'm pretty great, aren't I? He says, no. Don't be baffled by all this. Yes, the crowds are really into this, and yes, I am revealing God's power, God's love, God's character, God's intent in the world. I am doing all of that, absolutely. But please hear this. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into human hands. Why does Jesus say it? Because it's true. Okay, but why is it true? Why can't Jesus just be glory? Healing people and everyone going, oh, it's amazing. Why can't that just be Jesus? Why does Jesus have to be betrayed into human hands? Well, if you know me at all, you know that for me, it's because that is the human condition. If you really want to know me, you need to know my pain. Is that Brothers Karamazov? No, whatever. It's a Russian novel. What hurts me? I don't know. How could you say that you love me if you don't know what hurts me? It's a line in the back of my head. How can you say you love me if you don't know what hurts me? Well, through Jesus, God knows what hurts us because God experiences it. That's how we understand the depth of God's love for us, that God wants to experience those things. And so the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into human hands, yes, because because otherwise I'm not getting the human experience. Otherwise I'm not loving you as completely as I could. And I want you to be loved like that. I want you to know that you really aren't alone. You're not alone at a birthday party. You're not alone on a gorgeous sunny afternoon. You're not alone on a cool morning. You're not alone when the stars are filling the sky. You're also not alone when you're sitting at the emergency ward at a hospital all by yourself, having got out of a cab because there was nobody to take you. You're not alone when it hurts and you don't know what's going to happen next. You're not alone when the love of your life has died. You're not alone when your best friend has betrayed you and just left you naked in the world. You're not alone in those times either. God is not just about the glory. God is also about the struggle and the suffering. Well, why did you take away the suffering? Because that's not what life is. Life is struggle. And it is sometimes suffering, but we're not alone in that. God experiences that too. So that God can honestly be with us, sincerely, and know what we're going through. All of this glory, it's like four dozen roses on Valentine's Day. Here's the glory. Oh my God, they're beautiful. Look at that. Oh, I've never seen so many roses. That's so beautiful. I'm going to put them here and just look. The roses will die. And we know it. It's a lovely gesture and we want the roses. We want to have that thing, absolutely. But unless they symbolize a love that is deeper, then we'll be giving roses to somebody else next year or receiving them from somebody else. Right, it has to be about something that's deeper, where I do know what hurts you and what delights you. And that's what God is doing. And that is hard for them to perceive. If they'd ask about it, maybe. Maybe. But then because they're baffled, this is how I'm seeing this, okay? Then because they're baffled, they do what so many of us do when we're baffled. We make it about us. Instead of being vulnerable and saying, God, could you help me understand this? They'd say, no. Who's the greatest? I mean, Peter, James, and John, they went up the mountain with Jesus. Yeah, apparently that was a thing. But, you know, Jesus, you know, gave me extra figs yesterday. I might be, you know, I've actually healed now 14 people. I don't know how many you've done that, but I've done 14. Well, yeah, but I preached and 50 people stopped to listen to me. I think I'm probably the greatest. We're not going to deal with the things we don't understand. We're going to embolden ourselves. And Jesus takes that lovely, wonderful moment to just deflate them. Lovingly, though. Doesn't leave them. Doesn't go, oh, you're terrible. Just says, whoa, 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 just a second. I need you to see this child here. Took a child, put it by his side. I don't know whose child it was. I don't know how they felt about Jesus going, excuse me, just going, taking your kid for a minute. There, just, yeah, don't worry. They'll be fine. But however, Jesus just, you know, puts a child by his side. But says, whoever welcomes this child in my name welcomes me. This kid hasn't healed anybody. In fact, nobody listens to this kid. He's a kid. No one listens to kids. But when somebody actually engages with the child and welcomes them, they're welcoming me. And by welcoming me, you're welcoming the one who sent me. God is as present in this child as God is present in you. The difference is that the kid's not bragging. You are arguing with each other about your accomplishments and what you've done. This child has done nothing. Now, child might have a blue belt in judo and then a whole bunch of wonderful things and won awards for spelling bees. But the fact is that the society of that time does not value that child. Just the way it is. Children were not valued. They were not. And well, yes, to their families, they were cute and adorable and they loved them, absolutely. But as a whole, society did not value children. We claim we do it now. have some questions about what we really do. But regardless, they were not valued. And the point is not that, oh, you're not as cute as this child. Oh, no, you're too tall. It's not that. It's that this being that everybody disregards represents me as well as you do, as well as the guy over there does, as well as she does over here. When you share me, when you share God's love, when you are welcomed, now we are building faith. But when you're just arguing about who's the best, come on. The least among you is the greatest. Because that's what God does. God turns everything upside down. God does not function the way you want to function, want God to function. That's why God's not invested in all the glory. God is also here for the suffering. I know it's not the way you think it should work, but it does. And you need to stop worrying about how great you are. Be more like a child. Be vulnerable. If you've been vulnerable, you'd ask the questions earlier and you wouldn't be confused. Yeah. And those are valuable words for me too, because I get puffed up. I get puffed up and become aware of my accomplishments. I may not go around bragging about them, but I am very aware of them. I can sit quietly by myself and go, you know, I've done this, and I don't know many people who could do that. And that, yeah, that's not actually helping me do anything other than puff myself up. Every now and again, you know what? It's nice to just sit and feel good about yourself. I get that. But the living a life of faith is not about you, it's about how you are part of all of this. So puffing yourself up, that actually just isolates you, pulls you out of all of this. And all of this, by the way, is amazing. It's created by God. It is, God's presence is there. It's, why would you want to pull yourself out of that? So be like a kid. All right, I'm preaching now. Never mind, I'm going to stop. I'm going to leave it with you. And not just because I am really tired and want to go to bed. But I think I've actually come to a point where I'm going to start talking in circles. And there's more here. I'm sure there is. And I will trust you to find it. So for now, let me offer a prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for this time of wonder, the opportunity to consider, and the opportunity to hear your word and your voice. God, as we hear your word and your voice, may we follow. May we grow in faith. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's enough for me today. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow at a more normal hour. But until I get to see you, God bless you. Please know that God sees you and knows you and loves you exactly where you are, as you are. But God's love doesn't stop with you. It actually moves through you into the world in amazing ways. You actually help direct it and share God's love. That's what it is to be blessed. To be loved by God, but also to share God's love. So please know that you're blessed, and thank you for sharing. Until I get to see you tomorrow, God bless.